Hello and welcome to another edition of Bacardi's Balls to the Wall podcast.
Party!
The podcast that brings you all things football in Mzansi and beyond. Today I am joined, as per usual, by football writer Tsepo Ntsoelengwe. Hello, Tsepo.
Hello, hello, Jointy. Hello to the listeners.
And Sibonga Senigumbi, our erstwhile football writer too. Covers mostly Kaizer Chiefs, although this weekend he did the Orlando Pirates game, so yeah, we'll get his views on both, I think.
Yeah, thank you for having me again.
In this week's edition, we're going to look, I'm Picardi editor John T. Mark. In this week's edition, we're going to look ahead to Bafana Bafana and their friendlies against Namibia and DR Congo. They play Namibia on Saturday at Orlando Stadium and DR Congo on Tuesday at the same venue, but before that, we're going to go backwards, and we're going to look at the MTN8 semi-finals that took place last weekend on Saturday. Mamelodi Sundowns took on Kaizer Chiefs at FNB Stadium in a game that was Kaizer Chiefs' home game, the first leg of the semi-final. It finished in a 1-1 draw. Edson Castillo looked to have won it for Kaizer Chiefs with a fine header from an excellent cross from Ashley Dupria, but in stoppage time, Kuliso Modau popped up also with a header to equalise for Sundowns, giving them a precious away goal heading into the second leg. Sibonga Tseni, it's a better result for Sundowns, am I right?
Yeah, Rulani also conceded that he was on the brink of celebrating because... But then he remembered that if you're a Sundowns coach, you can't celebrate draws.
But he did celebrate.
But he did say it feels like a win, you know. So yeah, and he did celebrate the goal so much. I think he was celebrating the goal, not the draw per se. But he said that it feels like a win because if you score away in such games, because he said they've learned that from their Champions League games that if you start away, it's very important to score, no matter the result. But you need to come back with having scored when you play away, and you put yourself in a better chance when you get home.
Yeah, I mean, unlike in Europe, the away goals rule is still very much in place, so an away goal can give you a big advantage. I mean, a 0-0 draw and Chiefs are out in the second leg.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Sundowns definitely needed that goal. In terms of performance, Molefe and Seki saying afterwards he wasn't actually that happy with the way Chiefs played, even though they led and almost got a win.
Yeah, I think shouldn't be. It was embarrassing. If you look at the brand that Kaizer Chiefs are, if you look at how big a club they are, you expect them to go pound to pound with Sundowns. I know that in terms of levels right now, realistically, we know that they can't match Sundowns in terms of the quality of the players and how Sundowns have been together for a while now and under the same coach for a long time. But you don't expect Sundowns to have 75% ball possession at any stage of that game, which was the case in the first half mostly. But they tried in the second half because we knew. I even told the guys that Chiefs will be better in the second half because they were just reserving themselves their energy because we know they like to play on the counter, especially this season, early this season. You know, so if you start playing that counter game from the first minute, by 30 minutes at FNB Stadium, it's a big venue, you'll be all trained out. So they needed to reserve themselves. And I think they started early also in the second half because I was expecting them to start maybe the last 20 minutes, then to start pushing for a goal and score it then. And then they could have maybe defended it till the end. But they scored early and they made Sundowns, you know, sit back and realize what's happening. And so maybe that's how it didn't work out the way they had planned, because I'm sure they wanted that 1-0 win, which would give them a big advantage going away, because they know that they Lucas Moripe is much smaller in terms of the field, so they can play their counter attacking game from the onset when they play there. So yeah, in terms of the play, it was not bad, but the result not bad as well, because it's Sundowns.
Seppo, Sundowns lost Temba Zwane to injury and he could be out for a bit. He's missing the Bafana game this week. Do you think that's a blow? Or do you think just Sundowns have so many players, so much cover, that it won't really affect them?
I don't really think it's a huge blow for them, because I think last week we did speak about, you know, some of the players that have been introduced into the system now. You know, we spoke about the likes of, you know, Alende, you know, trying to get into the team to be, you know, that replacement for the likes of Zwane. Because, I mean, in terms of age, we know that Zwane is a bit old now. And now, like a player like Zwane, when he gets an injury, you know, they like to say an old player, when he gets injured, it takes time for him. So I think, you know, it's not really a huge blow for them. They still have the quality in the team to deliver and do their job. But again, in terms of them, you know, playing against Kaizer Chiefs, if you look at the past, you know, 3-4 results against Kaizer Chiefs has always, you know, managed to hold their own against Arnold City, though they are a top side, and Chiefs, you know, hasn't been really been at that, you know, top level. But, you know, the results was, you know, I think for Chiefs fans, it's a fair result, you know, it's a fair result. But like Bo said, in terms of, you know, concentration, I think, you know, that's what really hit them, because I think they could have easily won that game 1-0. Just the lapse of concentration that, you know, that let them down.
Yeah. Okay. So what do we think? Do Sundowns have, I mean, the game's only, I think, on the 24th of this month. Yeah. So do you see Chiefs having any chance of getting anything out of that game?
I think so. I really think so, because they'll have played 3 more games before that, I think, or 2 more, and practiced their strategy, because you could see it working against Stellenbosch. It worked against AmaZulu. So it almost worked against Sundowns. So they go to Lucas Moripe Stadium. Like I said, it's much smaller in terms of the pitch, and it's more suitable to their style of football they want to play, you know. Those long balls to their front runners, who Ashley Dupree can use his speed well, and Pule Modi has managed to benefit from the second ball from there. So, you know, and Potsane can come also with the second ball there. So they have that attacking trio who are very sharp. So, and Sundowns defensively, we know that Sundowns are not really strong defensively, because they can't really keep the same back three for more than 3 games because of injuries and suspensions and all of that. So I think Chiefs can stand a chance. I think they can do an upset there, you know, and just get that one goal and come back and continue to the final. They, you know, they are much needed final again.
You know, when I look at it, Jonty, I mean, like, we all know, you know, the Sundowns defense, you know, besides not being strong, they don't have speed. And, you know, for Chiefs' advantage, they have very quick players like Ashley Dupree, you know, even Castillo as well. You know, he's very mobile. He's quick as well. So they could work in Chiefs' advantage going to the second round. What just needs to happen is for Coach Molefenzeki to make sure that, you know, he assembles a very good defense and make sure that, you know, they're going to stay concentrated for the entire game. Otherwise, they can easily win this game and go to a final. I think it's going to be very important for Chiefs, you know. And again, it's going to, you know, put less pressure for him.
Well, we'll see what happens in that one. Let's move on to the second game. Orlando Pirates on Sunday, winning 2-1 at Stellenbosch. Stellenbosch, obviously, with 10 men for over an hour. Thabo Molosane sent off. I don't think you can really argue with that for a studs-up challenge on Patrick Masuengai. And then Stellenbosch taking a surprise lead through Ismaël Touré before Pirates came back. Sekele Lepasa getting another goal, I think moving into double figures for the season. And then Dion Hotto getting his first of the season. So Pirates in pole position there. Obviously, you know, they've got the home leg to come. They've won 2-1 away from home. It's looking good for the Buccaneers in the defence of their title.
I think they're in the final already. They're just waiting to see who comes between Chiefs and Sundowns. Because that was a difficult game against Stellenbosch. It wasn't easy. Yes, Stellenbosch were 10 men, but they matched Pirates. Yeah. You know, from the first whistle, they didn't let up, you know. They didn't play like a side who were playing a big team. They just played the normal game and tried to play as much as Pirates did. They didn't allow as much as Pirates had most of the possession, and, you know, but they were like Sundowns against Chiefs. They were just keeping the ball, but not really harming Stellenbosch. So until Stellenbosch scored and Pirates, they realized that they have a problem now. They need to really stand up. And they did a good job on Zakele Lepasa, but, you know, when a player is on form like him,
you can't really stop him
for the whole 90 minutes. At some point, he's going to break. And he did, and I think that took the wind off their sails a little bit. And it allowed Pirates to play their way, because towards the end of the game it was all Pirates, and you could see that the goal was coming, and they could have got more than just one. But I think it will be easier now at home with their own fans and a pitch they are used to, you know. So
you know, when I look at the two games, the league game and the cup game, it was more similar, because of even the league game, even though Pirates lost 1-0, but they still had that much possession and they created a number of chances, you know, during the league game. So the difference this time around was just that they managed to score via, you know, goal scoring opportunities, hence they were able to win 2-1. Otherwise, similar games, still is very competitive, we're going pound to pound with them. It's just a matter of Pirates utilizing their scoring chances.
Yeah, and as Sibongiseni, your namesake, Sibongiseni Mthethwa,
he's really also my homeboy.
Isn't he? Okay, well, he's your homeboy from KZN as well. He's strongly linked to Pirates. I think we've got an Mgosi about his link to Pirates this week as well. This is an interesting one, because he apparently was going to win the Man of the Match award, but then Hotto scored a last minute winner and they gave it to Maswan Guy, which I find utterly bizarre. I mean, you can't just, if a guy plays well and he's on the losing side, just give him the Man of the Match award.
I think it was 50-50.
You think?
But if it had ended 1-1 or with Stellenbosch winning, then obviously Mthethwa would take it. So with Pirates winning and Maswanganyi providing both assists, you know. So it sort of told you what to do. But in terms of the hard work and not just the playing, but also the sportsmanship that Mthethwa showed in that game, because if you watch it, so many incidents, there were times when players wanted to fight. And he was the first day even pulling back Ikram Reyners, who I think is 4 or 5 years his senior, you know, just pleading with him to calm down and move away from the referee and all of that. And then that shows so much leadership. And that's the kind of player you want to see being named man of the match because of not just what he does in terms of playing, but also, you know, being a sportsman, you know, being a leader, showing good leadership qualities and leading by example. So for me, he would have got it for that. But I can't really cry that Maswanganyi got it. It was, for me, it was either or. So whoever got it, you know, I'm happy for either of them. But I would have been happier if it was Mthethwa, obviously.
You don't think, you don't think Mthethwa doesn't want to annoy Pirates because he might be playing for them in about 3 weeks' time, before when the transfer window shuts.
And he would be such a great find for Pirates, I can't lie.
No, because, he would, but another thing is that, I mean, Stellenbosch just gave him a new contract and, you know, they just offered him the assistant captain position as well at the club. So, you know, I think for Stellis to lose a player like him, it will be a huge blow, because he's one of the key players at the moment. Because, I mean, they lost the likes of Mendy yet, you know, they lost a lot of players. And, you know, having a player like Mthethwa in the team is going to be a huge blow should they decide to, you know, to send him to Pirates. But again, I think they would make good money out of it.
Money talks, but will money Pirates talks, want to stump up a fee?
Money talks.
But also for the player, you know, we can praise him all we want. He was at Black Leopards, he did well. He's at Stellies, he's doing well. We haven't seen him in a pressure game. He went to Bafana Bafana, didn't really impress. We're not sure how he will handle the pressure of playing for a big club.
If he moves, I mean, Chiefs
Let's challenge him at Pirates. Let him go there. He's 28 now, so he doesn't have really that much left. So it's a good time for him to move to a bigger team, you know, because I don't think that there are that much chances of him going overseas now. But I think challenging himself at Pirates, Chiefs or Sundowns is the next best thing for him, because I think at Pirates he would be a replacement of Jali, who they lost so many years ago, but they haven't really found a proper replacement. So I think he would do that, because he's good defensively. He's good also at attacking, you know. Although he hasn't scored, but you can see that he gets into good places. It just needs that, maybe that fine-tuning a little bit in terms of attack. But I think at Pirates, you know, with the team they have, he would excel. He would be a star.
Well, we'll see. The transfer window closes on September the 22nd, not when the other transfer windows closed, which was, well, a lot of them closed at the end of August, beginning of September. R1 carries on a bit, so there's plenty of time. But it's maybe Kaizer Chiefs who need more than Pirates to sign some players because they, according to Hugo Bruce, do not have any players who deserve to be in the Bafana Bafana squad, except that he did eventually pick Pule Modi, who is in the Bafana squad.
Am I the only one who sees resemblances in Rulani Mkwena and Hugo Bruce? In terms of they say things and they come and they apologize and they make it even worse when they try to apologize.
Look, I don't know. It's almost like, no. I feel like, you know, that you see those social media memes where it says like no one and then there's a blank space and then it's like Hugo Bruce. I never said Kaizer Chiefs players didn't have skill. He never had no need to say it is what I'm trying to say. Like nobody actually sparked that. It was the start of his press conference on Monday.
Yeah.
He told the truth when he announced the squad, to be fair.
And yeah.
When he announced the squad, Chiefs weren't in great shape. They had, you know, he was quite right to say, what have they done differently this season to last season? And he was quite right in what he said.
So that basically says Ntsengi hasn't changed anything.
Yeah.
So if you're right that Ntsengi hasn't changed anything now, he blames it on us. Well, that he never mentioned Ntsengi by name.
No, now he goes ballistic and says, that the media's fault. It's the media's fault for him saying that he said Ntsengi hasn't changed anything at Chiefs. But I mean, the implication is there.
Exactly.
That's what he said,
It's like what Rulani said. When he, and then he tried to make it right. He was doing well, and then suddenly he just lost it and said, God, he's a Chiefs supporter.
Anyway, you know you're the biggest club in the country when you're being talked about in the build-up to a Bafana game when you have one player in the Bafana squad.
Yeah.
It just speaks of Chiefs.
And who might not even play.
Popularity may not play. I'm sure he'll get...
I don't think he will play.
Bruce has said he'll give everyone a game. So, you know, and it is too friendly. So he may come on as a sub. He may play, start one of the games. Either way, he is there on merit. He is in form. But, I mean, I think, you know, it's fair enough to say that Kaizer Chiefs haven't won anything for 8 seasons. They haven't been great in the last, certainly... while, and if they're not getting in the Bafana squad, that's basically why, and there's nothing wrong with saying that. I just feel like it's a mountain out of a molehill a little bit, and I don't even see why Bruce now has to meet with Ntsengi, because Ntsengi's upset and explain himself. I mean, what is he going to say? I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about your players.
Your team. You know. If you're talking about my team, you're talking about me.
That's just how it is.
But, you know, I mean, but I suppose he feels like he needs to mend some bridges here or whatever.
But just apologize and move on. Don't try to explain.
This feels like a lot of nonsense to me. Because, you know.
Kaizer Chiefs wrote a letter yesterday apologizing.
Yeah.
They just apologized. They didn't say, but it was because of this and that. No. Just
you mean about the behavior of their fans?
Yes.
They just apologized and said,
"Yeah,
we are sorry what happened," and that's it. And they move on. But if you are going to apologize and try to expand on it, and then you end up digging yourself into another hole, you know.
Jesus.
But I like it for Bruce. I hope he doesn't stop talking because he's
threatened.
He speaks
with his heart and he does like, give some good answers.
That's what you want.
That's
what you want from football. Also, with Rulani Mkwena, I don't blame him.
Yeah.
We like that for
compare
football.
Yourself to Jesus all you like, Rulani.
Because we want Kaizer Chiefs and Sundowns to be enemies for our football to grow.
Yeah.
We want those games to be real rivalry, not just another game Sundowns will win. But we want Chiefs to be pumped up, you know, to be angry when they play Sundowns and want to show Sundowns a thing or two. So Rulani did great. We saw a good game on Saturday. Chiefs were not there in terms of the play, but you could see that they wanted to win.
Okay, before we finish up, let's look at these Bafana games. They are basically friendlies. They are friendlies. They build up to November when there's FIFA World Cup qualifiers. Qualification starts with the 2026 FIFA World Cup, which will be in the USA. Canada and Mexico, an expanded World Cup to 48 teams, giving Bafana perhaps more of a chance to qualify. We shall see. They have Nigeria in their group, so perhaps not. We shall see. And it's also build up to the Africa Cup of Nations finals, which are in Ivory Coast early next year. And Bruce is sort of settling. He seems to have a settled idea of most of his squad. There's been a few injuries in midfield, especially this week, which mean that Margaman might get a chance. Grant Margaman, who's had a good start to the season with SuperSport. Luke LaRue is out injured. Deboho Mokwena is out injured, so there'll be some changes. Maybe Batusi Albas will get another go. There's a couple of other options. It's also looking good. We have to say for Bafana in attack at the moment. Lyle Foster, 2 goals in 3 English Premier League games. I think that's pretty much a dream start for him, albeit that Burnley have lost all 3 of those games. He's certainly been a shining star for them. And other players like Percy Tau coming off the back of the season in Egypt. We'll see what form he's in. Bongi Hlongwane, who has been in such good form for Minnesota United, is not here. He's been left behind. But there are other players, obviously, in good nick. And yeah, the one guy I obviously forgot to mention is the guy we were talking about earlier, is 10 goals, Akele Lepasa, who's already, I think, in his best scoring season ever in the PSL. Yeah. And we're not even midway through September yet. It's at the beginning of September. That's very impressive from him. Yeah. What are we looking for from these games, maybe just to finish off, both of you? Are you looking for goals? Are you looking for just some good performances? I mean, obviously, friendlies are always... We'd always rather Bafana lost friendlies, frankly, and won the competitive games, because too often they've won the friendlies and lost the competitive games. So what are we looking for from these two games, you think?
I would like to see a dominant Bafana, a dominant display, especially against Namibia. I want them to dominate Namibia and show the direction they're headed, and not just win. Obviously we want them to win, but we want to see a performance as well. We want to see that the cohesion is there. They've been together now for 2 years.
Yeah.
The coach has been there for long enough now. He knows his players. I was just a little disappointed that he left Njabulo Plum out, because I felt at his age, even if he's not doing that well at his club for such games, he could be called up, maybe leave him for AFCON or for official qualifiers if he's not playing at his team. But for such games, maybe bring him in, you know, just to see where he is in terms of mentally and physically and all of that. But yeah, he has the core of his team now, and it's looking good. The goalkeepers are stable defensively. He's got a stable defense, you know, midfield. I don't like that he just chooses 4 midfielders.
Yeah.
It makes me uneasy that, like, now Luc Leroux has got injured, so now we are thin.
I think the idea is obviously some of the attackers can play in midfield, some of the defenders can play in midfield.
But so in terms of the central role, we know that the 3-2 are guaranteed a place, so they don't really have to fight for that position now, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because we want to have a competition.
Well,
I
think he did bring in Sitole from Portugal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
To replace Leroux, I think.
Oh, okay. But let's see goals. Let's see a good performance, you know. Like the last game we saw against Morocco, it wasn't bad. It wasn't good, but it wasn't bad. But if we build up from that, then we can say we have a team.
Yeah, Blom to me is also an interesting one, because I found it a bit strange that he said he's not getting enough game time. He's played quite a bit. Yeah. And if you look at the last two matches, he's played the full 90 minutes in both games, Blom. So he is playing. So it seems to me maybe it's a little bit of, you know, a grey area there, because it's like, is he not picking him because he just... There was obviously that problem in the beginning when he didn't come. Does he just feel like, I don't know.
And maybe they didn't get along when he eventually came.
Rob Moore, who is Blom's agent and who is not backwards about coming forwards to speak about his players, may well have something to say about that in the next couple of weeks. We'll see, because he does like a chat. So let's see if Moore has a perspective from, because he'll definitely give a perspective from the players' side as well, I'm sure. Seppo, what do you expect to see from these two games?
You know, for me, I think it's just about consistency. And I mean, like, if we look at the players that have been selected, I think these are players that have been doing, you know, really well at their clubs. And even in the national team, you know, the past few games, they've been doing well as well. And, you know, for the likes of Zlakele Lepasa, I just want to see him continue scoring in the Bafana Bafana colors as well. You know, that form from Pirates must just, you know, continue at Bafana Bafana as well. I think the last game, when he played for Bafana Bafana, he scored again, you know. So it's good for him. So consistency, it's all about that. You know, make sure that they score goals and just keep on building the confidence in the team. Because, you know, I think the good thing about Bafana Bafana, you know, in the last two years is that, you know, there is consistency in the selection of the players. You know, I think Bruce has this nice pool of players that he can only select. Doesn't matter if, like, now Leroux is injured, you bring in Yaya Sitole, you know, he has done well previously in Bafana Bafana colors as well. So consistency and performance, winning those games, because I don't think DR Congo and Namibia will want to lose, or they're going to come come out with guns blazing.
Mm.
Because all these things, when we play against Bafana, we want to prove a point. So,
Yeah, no, I'd like to see if Bruce can also pair. Because the games I've seen previously, he's kind of gone with La Paz as a lone striker or Foster. Mm. I'd like to see them paired in attack and see if we can get them to work together. Because it would be nice with... They're the two form strikers in the South African setup.
Yeah, so confidence is high as well.
Stick them in the same team. Mm. Now's the time to experiment a bit with your formation, maybe in different ways of playing. Yeah. And against a side like Namibia, as Sabo said, come on, we want to see goals. We don't want to see us trying to labour 2-1-0 win. Yeah, and Bruce said he wants to win. You know, he has said he liked to repeat that they've won. They've played 7 games this year. They've won 5 and drawn 2. So let's just keep that record up. We'll maybe get it to 7 wins and 2 draws before the games, the more important games coming up. Okay, we're going to leave it there. Please do follow us on Twitter at Pakati with 3 A's. Like us on Facebook at Pakati with 3 A's. And do get your copy of the Pakati supplement free when you buy the Citizen newspaper every Tuesday. Thanks to Tsepo and Spoil for coming in, and we will see you next time.
Cheers.
Cheers.